It's time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitten Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Here are your hosts, Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes.
Hello there and good morning. It's Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes. Hope you had a somewhat lucky Friday the 13th yesterday. We're ready to get into everything involving Michigan sports, but more importantly, I think on a broader scale, some national stuff going on. We'll have our picks later, but we're about to jump in and give our reactions to the Field of 12, the college football playoff bracket for the 2024 season. A lot of surprises, a lot of intrigue, a lot of argument to be had. We'll also touch base on some other things, including the Detroit Lions, who are 12-1 for the first time in franchise history. But before we do any of that, DJ, how's it going, man?
Oh, I'm living the dream. I'm back here. The wedding was pretty cool, you know, so I'm not complaining about that. I had a good time. Michigan basketball is on the up and up. Tough game the other day, but I'm good with that. We'll talk in next week probably about what has me upset in the college world. As you know, we've talked a little bit about it. Tennessee's on our side, so that's cool. Other than that, I'm just excited for, once again, the best part of the year where there is tons of sports on to enjoy.
Yeah, you're referencing the fact that our teams will play each other in what, Reliquist?
The Reliquist.
Whatever that Reliquist is, ball. Down in Tampa, Florida. So we'll have an opportunity to break that down a little bit more next week. That game will be on BCK, by the way. And we'll have a lot of fun talking about that one. Once again, the Wolverines and the Tide, by the way, started the year against each other. January 1st, 2024, Alabama-Michigan, one of the best games of the year last season, and now closing the year out, December 31st, 2024, we'll be playing once again.
I do want to say, if we somehow pull this off, I will never let you forget the year of 2024.
As well you should.
The same way. I don't let you forget February of 2011.
It is what it is. Ouch. That one took a second to register, and then it was like, oh, that's Super Bowl 45.
Yep.
Thanks. Packers are on like a 2-game losing streak, right? Anyway, let's get into the college football playoff bracket. I don't know, DJ. I think they got it right. 1-4, these are the bye teams: Oregon, Georgia, Boise State, Arizona State, and then we get the matchups, starting with Indiana, Notre Dame, under the shadow of touchdown Jesus there, SMU and Penn State, then Clemson, Texas, and Tennessee, Ohio State. These are some extremely exciting matchups. A few of them could go really any way, and that sets up even more exciting matchups in the second round. But of course, a lot of the debate surrounded my team, the Alabama Crimson Tide, who are the first team out, and SMU, who struggled early in the ACC championship against Clemson, came back, tied it up, lost on a last second field goal. A lot of flukiness there at the end, but hey, you win, you lose, that's what happens. But the committee decided to keep SMU in the field, and as an Alabama fan, I think they got that right. You got a team that did what they were asked to do. Go to your conference championship game, and you will have an opportunity to play in the college football playoffs. Otherwise, you need to look absolutely fantastic. And despite some statistics that would lead you to believe on paper that Alabama looked that way, they also lost two games, one against Vanderbilt, one against Oklahoma, and I think that Oklahoma game was the one that ultimately did them in and kept them out of the playoffs and kept SMU in, and now they get a chance to go up to Happy Valley, play Penn State in a wideout game at noon. And we'll see how SMU fares in all of this. They've got some issues, but they've also got some talent to make a run at this thing. But just starting on that one point, DJ, I mean, I know you agree Alabama should never have even been in the conversation, but do you feel like for the most part the committee did get it right?
Yeah, I feel like the 12 teams that are here are the 12 that deserve to be here.
I agree.
I think that's the big piece. That's the first part that they had to get right. That was the first part that everybody was paying attention to, is what 12 teams were you choosing to be here? And then we can talk about everything after. 1 to 12, great job. Almost perfect. There's, of course, some arguments that could be had about moving teams up or down, whatever the case may be, and maybe replacing some teams here with another team. But I feel like the 12 are correct. My thing with this is I would like to get away from conference champions automatically getting the bye. I think the five conference champions are ranked in your top 12 for sure. And then I think the CFP needs to re-rank that top 12 after the year, like right before the playoff starts, and go 1 through 12, and then your top four get your bye from there. And then you accurately have it 5, 12, 8, 9, et cetera, so that the matchups are as best as they can be moving forward. Like, that's the real argument that a lot of people are having, is people feel like Oregon got slighted being the one seed and having to play Tennessee or Ohio State and then either Clemson, Texas, or Arizona State. While you look at the bottom, Georgia, really their toughest competition in that bottom slate of games is Notre Dame. If they beat Notre Dame, their options left are Indiana, Boise State, Penn State, SMU. And that's if Indiana doesn't beat Notre Dame.
Yeah.
If Indiana beats Notre Dame, Georgia's, I hate to say it, but Georgia's 9 times out of 98% in the Capital One Orange Bowl.
Maybe.
If Indiana beats Georgia.
Hey, the last time Boise State played Georgia, Broncos won.
I know. I said they're in the Orange Bowl. If Indiana beats Notre Dame, Georgia's in the Orange Bowl.
Okay.
What happens after that? Questionable. The one thing I do like about Boise getting the bye and where they're playing is, does anybody remember the last time they played in the Fiesta Bowl?
Let's go.
I'm feeling good about their chances in a Verbo Fiesta Bowl.
I do too.
That's the reason I'm a Boise State fan, is way back in that Tostitos Fiesta Bowl in 2009 when they did the Statue of Liberty. That cemented something for me. They have another chance to play in the Fiesta Bowl. I think that's going to be great. What I do like is we have a chance for an Oregon-Ohio State rematch in the Rose Bowl. Yes, please. Or even Oregon-Tennessee in the Rose Bowl. Yes, please.
Even more mess. Yes, please.
I'm here
Tennessee
for,
in the Rose Bowl.
I'm here for either one of those.
That is a beautiful matchup.
Either one of those would be absolutely fantastic. I think the best first game matchups, these are probably the best ones we could have gotten possible. I think maybe there's a case for Texas to be a bye team instead. And then you get Boise State, yeah, Clemson in the first round. Like, there's some matchups that could be moved around to be good here. I think maybe SMU Boise State would be a good matchup in the first round. Penn State gets the bye instead, like Boise State, Indiana, then you give Notre Dame a bye. Like, there's some options there, but these matchups are great. They're going to be great games, but I think the possible game of the week is one of the two middle ones, either Tennessee and Ohio State or SMU and Penn State.
Yeah, I think I can be persuaded. I do want conference championships to mean something. I want you to be rewarded for winning your conference championship, and a bye week seemed to have been something that made sense for that, but I'm kind of questioning it a little bit, because it almost doesn't feel like the four best teams have bye weeks. And again, it does not feel like Oregon has the easiest route to the national championship, which is what you're supposed to get as the number one seed in any tournament formatting. They can only play the 12 seed in the Cotton Bowl. And the odds of Clemson going into Austin, Texas, going into that Orange Crush matchup, which is very fun, by the way, they're 11-point dogs. Like, it's and they have not played exceptionally well. They've played better down the stretch, but they have not played exceptionally well all season to lead to believe that Clemson is going to win that game. Arizona State has looked fantastic. They could dominate any of these teams. And then Oregon, if they survive the Rose Bowl, would then be taking on the number four team. Again, easier than whatever Boise State, Georgia, and those teams down there might have. But I don't know. I'll say this. I've advocated for this specific format for a long time, DJ. Like, before they gave me my own show at Tuscaloosa, I've been advocating for this. And I think it made the regular season matter more. I think it made conference championships matter more. I think it added parity to the sport, because I look at this field and I legitimately see 10 teams that can win the national championship. There's two that I really just don't believe in, but one of those I think could be a little bit more surprising. But I think, I also think that it's very special that teams like Boise State, Indiana, and SMU, and Arizona State State are in this thing. It's a little bit more frustrating that a team like Clemson is in this thing, but nonetheless, a lot of people looked at this and they're like, oh man, it's just an excuse to get Alabama and Ohio State and Oklahoma and Georgia into the playoffs every year willy-nilly. Well, Oregon and Georgia did their part to earn their spots. Alabama did their part to not earn a spot, and Ohio State is hanging in there as the 8 seed. Right? So everybody's kind of fit in where they should be based off of the structure of what we have. That said, the structure is still broken. I agree with Nick Saban and by proxy Kirk Herbstreit more than Nick, but during the reveal of this thing, they were talking about the schedules and the strength of schedules, and make no mistake about it, I'm an SEC truther, man. I'm from that area. It's hard to get it out of me. I'm a strong believer that if you put SMU or Indiana in the SEC, they don't go 9-3, right? But that doesn't mean punish them for playing the schedule that they played. They dominated the teams they needed to dominate against, and they barely lost to the teams that they were supposed to struggle against. So what you need is more structure around schedules from conference to conference. The Big Ten should not be playing less conference games than the SEC, and they should be playing an out-of-conference schedule that is more mirrored, as in both the Big Ten and the SEC should be playing 2 or 3 power non-conference games, and then you get 1 group of 5 games. But no power school should ever be playing an FCS program ever again. And I think that is something that we need to take away from with the way that this turned out. In my view, there was no argument for Alabama to get in over SMU unless SMU got decimated in the championship, and that's not what happened. So now we can look and say, okay, well, 12 teams were mostly deserving, and then the teams 13, 14, 15, and 16 that Alabama, SMU, or excuse me, South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma, they did not deserve to be in. They did not do enough to warrant the conversation. The way you change that is by scheduling, and maybe making that SMU and Indiana schedule a bit harder, and maybe taking a bit off of the other guys, or keep it hard. I don't care, but nonetheless, that's what needs to be taken next. Not moving to 16 teams. That's asinine. That's redundant. That's ridiculous. We're not trying to appease more teams more than we already have. We're trying to find a champion in a fun, exciting, entertaining, and profitable way. You found that. Now clean it up a little bit. Don't mess with it too much is my opinion on it. But we'll take a break. When we come back, it's time to talk Lions' big win over the Packers last week. We'll dive into it next on Mitten Madness, 95.3 WBCK. Back here on Mitt Madness, 95.3 WBCK, Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes. Let's talk Lions, the 12-1 Lions. Top of the division, in control of their own destiny, have that one game edge on the Minnesota Vikings thanks to the win, the 3-point last second field goal win over the Green Bay Packers. Even DJ can respect it. Dan Campbell went for it on fourth down so many times. And so many times were they successful. 4 for 5 on third down and 7 for 15 on third. That will win you football games, ladies and gentlemen. The Dan Gamble effect. Gotta love it. Gotta respect it. Also ran the ball incredibly, incredibly well. And that'll do it for you too. 111 yards total. But nonetheless, I mean, they outgained yardage-wise, total yardage-wise, Green Bay by 100 yards. It was a fun game through and through. It's one of those that keeps your attention literally every play. And the Lions found a way there at the end. Jake Bates with a last-second field goal yet again. Incredible rookie season for him. And now the Lions are 12-1 for the first time in franchise history, sitting in first place in the NFC. DJ, your reaction coming out of that game, both from a we have to talk about the Lions thing, but also the fact you're a Packers fan. That was a fun game, but it was one of those that's like, hey, no, for real, the Lions, they're here to stay, and they are the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, so I'll touch first on my Packers. I'm pretty excited with what I saw. We were right there in this game. We had a very good chance to win it, and that's arguably the best team in football right now. And we have some injuries, and we had a slow start, but we kept up with the best team in football. What am I supposed to be upset about,
right?
We're right on the edge. All we got to do is fix a couple of things, and we're possibly, you know, competing. Look, we are competing for a Super Bowl at this point. We are a Super Bowl contender. Sure. I have zero gripes with that. I'm okay with that. Great game we saw. Just cut down on some dumb decisions we made, and we win that game. But on the flip side, the team we're really here to talk about, the Detroit Lions, have made me proud. I just want to say, I can go all the way back to week two when they lost that game to Tampa Bay. I guess week three when we were talking about it on the pod, I said, the Lions have a very legitimate chance to not lose another game this year.
I thought you were nuts.
And look at where we are right now. They're 12-1, and they haven't lost a game since that week two loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
This game this week's a little tough, but you know what? If they drop it, it kind of doesn't matter. All you got to do is win 3 out of 4. You're the one seed. And more importantly, this is the one game you can afford to lose because it's an AFC opponent and doesn't really affect your tiebreakers until the absolute end. If you don't lose to another NFC opponent, it doesn't matter what the Eagles do. You're the one seed in the NFC because you only have one loss to NFC teams. They have two. Plain and simple.
Mm.
Do your job against the NFC. You're the one seed. That's the important part here with the Lions. But I want to say everyone should be terrified because they didn't have their starting defense out there in the slightest.
No.
And then a lot of their starting defenders got hurt, the few that were out there.
the few true starters like Aleem McNeil who were out there got hurt. And then some of the backups got hurt who were starting for the backups who were hurt.
That's a pretty big deal.
They are deep.
But they're proving once and again that it's not the players. It's the system. It is the coaching. It is the atmosphere. It's just being a Detroit Lion. I saw a funny clip on Twitter yesterday where it was the end of a game and they were going through, like, they were shaking each other's hands and there was like 12 people in frame. They were in sync. Every handshake, every clap of hand and every hug was at exactly the same time. Like, obviously that's kind of just coincidental, but like it points to how in line this team is with each other and how much chemistry that they have. Lions fans should be very excited because they're going to get healthier over the next couple of weeks. And I was just talking about in the barbershop, they don't have to get completely healthy. They don't need every piece of their defense back. They get 2 or 3 of those pieces back, they're on their way to the Super Bowl. The only team I really see in their way on the NFC side, maybe the Packers, you know, based off Thursday and some other things, and the Eagles. Everybody else shouldn't be a real problem for the Lions. And on the other side, you got the Chiefs, you got the Ravens, you got the Bills. That's it. I don't think anybody else in the NFL really competes with the Lions at this point. Maybe the Vikings because they've been good this year, but the first time the Vikings played the Lions, they didn't get this version of the Lions.
Also, I think the only team that can go, the only NFC team, because I think the Bills have a very legitimate chance of winning this game this weekend. The only NFC team that I think can go into Ford Field and win the game is the LA Rams. And that's because they're playing hot right now. They are surging.
Excuse me?
I know you're looking, they went 12-6 on Thursday night. I don't care.
I'm not even looking at that.
They're playing really good football right now.
Man, what kind of football are you watching?
The kind where Matthew Stafford threw for like 400 yards a week and a half ago.
And almost lost.
And almost lost because they were playing the Bills. Because
he sucked.
Hold on.
Not him, literally. The Rams just ain't.
Josh Allen is the first player in NFL history to score 3 passing touchdowns and 3 rushing touchdowns the same game. And he lost the damn game, DJ, to the Los Angeles Rams. They're playing good football.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're
but
not.
That's all beside the point. The
You're
bigger,
not going to give me that.
The bigger thing, there's also the Matthew Stafford.
Bro, they beat the Saints by 7.
I don't care.
What do you mean you don't care?
They're 7-2 over the past 9 games.
They beat the Saints by 7 and then beat the 49ers by 6 with all field goals. They didn't score a touchdown last night.
The Lions only beat the Bears by 3.
Okay, but that's no.
What are we doing?
They scored touchdowns in those games. They could move the ball. That was a short week coming off of Thanksgiving Day. Don't give me this. The Rams are not playing good football.
The Rams are playing good football. The Rams are going to the playoffs. They're going to win a playoff game.
Hold on. Their last 5 games, a 23-15, last 6. A 23-15 loss to the Dolphins, a 28-22 win over the Patriots. I'll give you the Eagles losing by 17. They're a good team. 7-point victory over the Saints?
This isn't college football where we look at how much you won the game by. Everybody's a professional out there.
I do.
Well, you're not doing it right.
When we're talking about being a Super Bowl contender, you need to beat.
Okay, well, the Bears are nowhere near the Super Bowl. And the Lions, a week and a half ago, beat them by 3 points. because they screwed up.
But we just acknowledge that the Lions are in trouble and need some help. We know that.
We both just acknowledge that they are overcoming a lot of adversity, and it's why they're Super Bowl contenders.
My point.
Why can't the Rams be the same thing?
Because the Rams ain't got no adversity over there. They just suck.
They started the season 1-4.
Because they suck.
Because they were hurt.
Yeah, man, Cooper was the only one really hurt. Puka got hurt, but all right.
Their two best players got hurt.
They're not playing that good of football with them back. They're back, and they're winning over the Patriots by 6.
The Patriots are playing good football right now, too.
You lost to the Dolphins?
The Dolphins are doing all they've got to do.
You beat the Saints by 7.
It's almost like everybody in the NFL's got something to play for.
You beat the Saints by 7. They ain't got nothing to play for.
The Saints are pretty bad.
And you beat them by 7.
Was it in New Orleans?
Yes.
Rest my case.
Oh, golly. Here we go with that. The South is so hard to play in.
No, it's because New Orleans plays better at home than on the road. It's a fact.
I mean, almost every team plays better at home than on the road.
Right, but the Saints are like the Seahawks in that regard.
The Saints are bad.
Right, but the Saints are like the Seahawks.
You beat the Saints by more than 7 if you are a Super Bowl contender.
Oh, my God. Okay. Again, that point is proven by Thanksgiving.
No. We're not going to compare the Rams to the Lions right now. One is 12-1, and one is probably going to miss the playoffs.
Where I was going to go with all of this that I was agreeing with you on the point of it's not about the players. It's about the mindset to be able to do what you need to do. And the fact that Dan Campbell goes for it 5 times on 4th down, and the one time he doesn't get it is at his own 30-yard line.
And all we got is a field goal.
Like, that's why the Lions are so unstoppable right now, is because even though he doesn't have players who he should be trusting, he's trusting them like they're Aiden Hutchinson and Alex Anzalone and all of these guys that they're missing. That's what's so impressive about him. I don't know if they're going to beat the Bills this week. The Bills really are reeling off of a fantastic performance in which they lost the game against the Los Angeles Rams, but they can come in to Detroit and beat the Lions and kind of re-perspectivize, if that's a word, the way things are going. But number one seed is almost completely locked up because the Bears are in free fall. The 49ers have nothing to play for anymore. And the Vikings, that's just going to be a fun game on January 5th. But nonetheless, I think the fact that the Lions are missing as much as they are, some of that should come back in due time. It's wildly impressive what they're doing and how aggressive they are when they don't have everything they need, or you would think that they would need, to perform at the level that they want to perform at.
I can agree with that. I'm just not putting the
Rams.
That
was a side point.
That's fair.
The team that the Lions play this week lost to the Rams.
Hey, but the big thing here is, like you said, home games do help with that. And guess who's at home this weekend? The Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Guess who's not so great on the road? The Buffalo Bills, who are 4-3 on the road. Lions are 6-1 at home. That does scare you because their one loss came at home. This game's going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun.
And I'm excited to pick it later in the show, so I won't say too much about it. But the X factors of these teams highlight each other very well. I'll say that. Like,
do you think this is the Super Bowl preview? Like, do you think that these are the teams that are definitely like your favorites to play in Super Bowl 59?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I biasly don't think so, but it's just because of my bias, because my team's in the running. And they haven't played the Bills yet. So I don't have any frame of reference. And my team hasn't been in this position in a while. Since your team beat my team in 2011, you know, so.
I mean, we ain't been back either, so it's fine. We've been close.
We were supposed to be back. Those guys, the killer bees, you know, they didn't win any friggin' playoff games, but it is what it is. Either way, man, I hope to see the Lions in New Orleans playing for the Super Bowl this year, and I think they're doing all they can to make sure that they're there, and it's wildly impressive. It's fun to watch. All right, we'll take a break, and we will come back. I don't think we've decided on what we're going to talk about when we come back, so it'll be a surprise for you. It's just as much as us here on Mitten Madness, 95.3 WBCK.
Detroit sports fans, Wolverines and Spartans alike, this is your sports show, Mitten Madness, with Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes on 95.3 WBCK.
here on Mid Madness 95.3 WBCK, Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes. We decided that it was good to talk some college basketball because things have been rough for the Pistons and the Red Wings, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about them once football season's over. We don't spend so much time talking about football. Nonetheless, the Michigan Wolverines and the Michigan State Spartans off to great starts this season. Michigan did suffer their second loss of the season, losing 89-87 to the Calipari-led Arkansas Razorbacks, who I warned DJ ahead of time. Arkansas is one of the most dangerous teams in the SEC year in and year out, and I didn't even think about the fact that John Calipari had gone over there. So they're even more dangerous. I'm kind of surprised they're not ranked just yet, but maybe they're just getting their footing, and a big win over Michigan will help them do that. Now on deck for the Wolverines is a date with number 13, Oklahoma. That should be interesting. As for the Spartans, big win over North Carolina last week. Minnesota, Nebraska, big wins at the bottom of the Big Ten, and they will host Oakland next Tuesday. So some more exciting basketball happening here in Michigan. DJ, start where you want, man. Just update us on your feelings on how these teams are performing and what they need to work on, especially for Michigan coming off that loss to Arkansas.
Yeah, I'll get into Michigan second. Michigan State, firstly, I think they've done a great job with their schedule early in the year. You go out and you play number one Kansas at a neutral site. You lose by 8 points. That's very good for you. That's going to be a quad one loss later in the year. Now it's a quad one loss. At the end of the season, it's going to be a quad one loss. That's good points for you. You get a quad one win over North Carolina. That will be a quad one win at the end of the year. 94-91, another neutral site venue.
That Memphis loss isn't bad either.
That's huge for you. Memphis is going to be a very good team this year. They have chances of winning the Big East and will most likely be a tournament team. So that's a quad one, quad two win, one of those. So far, we haven't said anything bad for them. And those are their two losses right there. And then Colorado has played fantastic basketball to start the year. They're going to be a Big 12 contender. They went in and took care of business against them as well. And then, you know, they got some important things coming up for them. They got the in-state competition with Western that they play every year. They got Battle of College Ball in the D at Little Caesars Arena on the 17th against Oakland. And, you know, Illinois is going to be coming up soon. Penn State's going to be a little bit of a test for them. Number 12, Oregon on their schedule as well. They just did what they always do, is they go out and play a tough non-conference schedule. They get into those preseason tournaments. They play those tough neutral games, and they come in the Big Ten and they rake and they play well and make the tournament. I expect that. The only difference is, this year is going to be crazy because there's 18 teams in the Big Ten now. 15 of them make the conference champion or the conference tournament. When we start to look at some of these records, I know there's not a ton of conference play that's been done. Only two games so far, so that will shake some things up as well. But 8-1 UCLA, 8-2 for Michigan, Michigan State, Indiana, Penn State, Purdue, Maryland, Wisconsin, 8-3, Oregon, 9-1, Illinois, Iowa, Northwestern, or Illinois 7-2, Iowa, Northwestern are both 7-3. Rutgers and USC, who are going to be competitive this year, they're 6-4 both. Washington 7-3. Literally everybody in the Big Ten right now has a winning record.
Let's say Wisconsin's 8-3. They're usually one of the better teams in the conference. They're 0-2 in the conference. So you could very well find yourself in the position that Wisconsin has found themselves in, where they're a contender in this conference year in and year out. But because of the depth of this conference, they've already dug a hole that's hard to get out of. And Michigan State has handled their business so far, and they look like they can continue to do so.
Yeah, the good thing about the Big Ten is you will play most of these teams twice. They have a chance to get some of those games back, and it's a long conference season. So a tough start for them at 0-2, but they should be fine. Michigan State's going to do great. They're going to be a tournament team, and I expect to see them near the top of the Big Ten. I just also want to say that their Big Ten regular season is off to a great start. Picked up two wins over Minnesota and Nebraska, and then you have Ohio State, Washington, and Northwestern coming up next. Those are three very beatable teams. The toughest one in that stretch to beat, Northwestern, well, that's the last one. So if you're coming in off of five straight wins, I would oppose over Oakland, FAU, and Western. And then you play Ohio State, Washington, you beat all those five, and you're on a five-game win streak going to Northwestern. A little bit of a trap game, but I think they're able to handle that. Michigan, on the other hand, I love what we have with Dusty May. I love what he has set up with this offense. They play very ferociously on the defensive end. They cause havoc up and down the floor. They need to hit free throws. They need to handle the turnover battle. They lost against Arkansas because they didn't make free throws and they lost the turnover battle. They made a couple more of their free throws. They had a few less turnovers. They win by that game by at least 5-6. You have to limit the opportunities you provide to the other side. But with that being said, both their losses this year are by two to two very good teams, Wake Forest and Arkansas, who will both compete in their respective conferences of the ACC and SEC and should both be tournament teams. Maybe Wake Forest isn't because they are going to play in a tough ACC conference. They went out and smacked number 22 Xavier, upset number 11 Wisconsin. You beat Iowa in a tough game. I'm here for it. You got a neutral site against Oklahoma after having a neutral site against Arkansas. This is going to be a big game for them. I think that if they can beat Oklahoma, they're preparing for quite a run. You know, you beat Oklahoma, you beat Purdue, Fort Wayne, you beat Western Kentucky, and then you have USC. If you're able to beat USC, you're walking into a game with 24 ranked UCLA, who's 8-1 on the year, 2-0 in the conference at this current time, with four straight wins. I like that. And then after that, you play Washington, Minnesota, Northwestern before you play another ranked game against Purdue. This schedule is also in favor of Michigan to do very well this year as well. So I just think both sides need to stay the course, continue to use their main players in Cohen Carr, and then it will be Danny Wolf for Michigan, and then use your accent players the way you have been, and you're in great shape.
A lot can change by, you know, January 19th. Northwestern could easily be ranked by then. But I'll say, just looking at the recent run here for Michigan, if you look at that stretch from Xavier to Wisconsin to Iowa to Arkansas to Oklahoma, and you come out of that 4-1, that says a lot about what your basketball team is, what your basketball team is capable of. Because I think almost all of those teams are, you know, Iowa might be the one bubble team in that. The rest are tournament teams. And you come out of that with the wins over all of them. You come out of that 4-1. That's just wildly impressive to me. And to be competitive in the one game that you lost, and it to be that upstart Calipari-led team down in Arkansas, you know, like you can kind of shrug that off and continue to bolster yourself and look and see what you're doing and seeing how special it is and continue to move forward. You got some chance. You got an opportunity here after the Oklahoma game, though, to rest with this Purdue, Fort Worth and Western Kentucky. And I said Fort Worth. I don't know what that FW stands
Wayne.
For. Fort Wayne. Why did I not come to that conclusion easily? Anyway, you got an opportunity to, you know, come back down to earth a little bit, rest up after a really tough stretch. That is a very tough stretch. That is SEC football levels of tough stretches, if you ask me. You may not be playing the best team in all the land, but you're playing really, really good basketball teams, even when they aren't ranked, Iowa and Arkansas. So ranked or not ranked, I mean, Michigan is doing some very impressive things, and it makes for an exciting season. And again, that just ties in, you know, the upset over Wisconsin. Well, Wisconsin's now 0-2 and Michigan's 2-0 in the conference. So what's the upset now? You know, the whole conference is turned on its head because it's so competitive. And like I told you before the show last week, Big Ten basketball is usually the most fun aspect of college basketball. And I think this year it's even better, especially with the stakes of there being 18 teams and the way that Michigan and Michigan State have surged back after rough years last year.
Yeah, I have to totally agree. I'm just really excited for Big Ten basketball. It's been a couple years since I've been like really tuned in. I normally just watch Michigan, Michigan State, call it a year, but I think I will be watching a lot more Big Ten basketball this season. And I think we're in suit for another crazy March Madness.
For sure. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, time for our picks. We've got a lot of fun games on the dock. Big weekend, the NFL, big week college football as well for a very special reason. And we'll get into all of that next here on Mitten Madness 95.3 WBCK.
95.3 WBCK.
All right, we're back here on Mitten Madness 95.3 WBCK. Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes have done all the talking, all the analyzing, and all the other stuff we do on the show. Now it's time for bragging rights. Time to pick some games, and a lot of big games. These are not going to be easy. Some of them are just fun, and by that I mean probably just the first one. DJ, why don't you go ahead and update us on the standings, see how what we are doing down the stretch.
I pulled one out last week, 4-2 compared to your 3-3, so I'm back up a game, 53-39 to your 52-40. You're right there.
I know, but just can't hold a lead. I feel like it's the same thing that happens all the time. It's like you get one or two games ahead of me, I'm like right there the whole year. Right before the end of the year, I get over the top, and then I give it right back. Yeah. All right, let's look at the IS4S Salute to Veterans Bowl. South Alabama is going to take on Western Michigan, the Broncos, and the Jags, 2-6-6 teams playing in Montgomery, Alabama at the Crampton Bowl, where your boy has played some football before. Tiny, tiny stadium. Should be a fun one. DJ, one thing of note is that the Broncos, one of their top receivers is their tight end, and he's already in the transfer portal, no longer with the team. So that could complicate things a bit for the Broncos. But between Western Michigan and South Alabama, DJ, who you got?
This one's tough because they're both kind of just middle of the pack, you know, group of five teams that had some decent moments this year, but also had some really down moments this year. So my plan is to just be a homer. I like the unis that Western has been wearing all year. I'm a look good, feel good, play good type of swag guy. So I'm a rock with that vibe and say that Western pulls one off down in the Veterans Bowl.
Yeah, I'm also just going to be biased, and it's not even for Western Michigan as much as it is against South Alabama. I went to Troy for a period of time, grew up right across the bay from South Alabama, and it's Hate South Week as far as I'm concerned. Go WMU, I'm taking the Broncos.
I love that. Let's go Broncos! I need to get back into a hockey game ASAP. That's going to lead us onto the gridiron, but this time we're turning things pro. We're going to go with your team. It is a Philadelphia matchup. Pennsylvania is up for grabs with you. Your Steelers 10-3, 5-2 on the road. Eagles 11-2, 5-1. Trends have not been great for your Steelers at Lincoln Financial Field. This will be a 4:25 p.m. kickoff. The latest of late games in that middle section there. George Pickens is questionable and looks like he will not
play. He's
not
going to play in that game.
Reed Blankenship is questionable and may not play, along with Dallas Goedert and Brandon Graham. Eagles 5-0 in their last five. Steelers 4-1. Who keeps their winning ways rolling?
So, interesting fun facts about this game. The Steelers have not played and won a game in Philadelphia since 1965. That was before the Steel Curtain was born. That was before the NFL-AFL merger. That was before they played Super Bowls. The Steelers do not play well in Philly. However, Russell Wilson is 4-0 against the Eagles all time in the regular season, and 6-0 when you count the playoffs. And that doesn't matter for nothing. George Pickens isn't playing in this game. The Steelers going into Philly to play the Eagles. This is kind of that point in the gauntlet that is the Steelers' second half of their season schedule, where it makes the most sense to lose this one and take care of business against Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Baltimore. Then this one just doesn't hurt. So I am actually going to pick against my Steelers. Much as I'd love to see them win, I think the Eagles will win this one on the back of Saquon Barkley.
I'm going to have to say that Saquon Barkley has played great. I really like what the Steelers have done this year. Them being 10-3 is like, ooh, great. I love it.
Where the hell did that come from?
Mike Tomlin always just playing with 500. I don't like that for him.
I know you like what you see on Hard Knocks from him too.
Absolutely. Like everything that I've seen from him in the Steelers this year has been great. I think this will be a good game. I think it'll be better than some of the Steelers-Eagles rivalry games we've seen in the past. But the past it's the past, but it's still relevant.
It's indicative of the
and
future.
And it's been a very long time since you guys have won. So I'm going to take the Eagles to win this one. And you took the Eagles as well. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
It's tough because George Pickens isn't playing, right? I mean, you saw how that affected them last week. From my team to yours, the Green Bay Packers are going to play the Seattle Seahawks. If you want to talk about our teams going into uncharted territory and looking for a dub, the Packers have more strange history playing in Seattle than any other team in the NFL.
We didn't forget about them replacement refs.
Yeah, we're talking replacement refs. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers' comeback. We're talking about Russell Wilson's comeback. There's some strange games. And don't look now, the Seahawks are 8-5. They've won their last four games straight, not against the craziest competition, but nonetheless, they've put themselves in a strong position to, if not win the NFC West, maybe snag a playoff spot. But the Packers have looked fantastic as well, just dropping that game to Detroit, competing with the best team in the league. DJ, who you got, your team or those Seahawks?
Seahawks made a mistake wearing that green.
Oh, are they wearing the green this week?
They're going full green, too. Tops and bottoms.
Gross.
Made a mistake. You know why? The 12th man goes down this week because they put us back in the white cheddar unis. The white cheddar go crazy. 12th man goes down, packed by a billion. You should have known I was taking my boys.
Well, as soon as you said that the Seahawks were wearing that green, that ain't it, man. Like, I don't even want to watch the game anymore. I can't with that highlighter green, man. Especially against a team that's wearing white. Like, the other team's got to wear dark, but you can't because that other team wears green. I'm going to go with the Packers. I was going to go with the Packers anyway, but I'm going to go with the Packers. I think they win and kind of solidify themselves near the top of the NFC. Not much else they can do except, you know, push and shove for playoff positioning, but the Packers are the better team.
The other NFL game of the week, I think the Steelers and Eagles is like top notch what everybody's watching. This one, also a 4:25 p.m. kickoff.
That's a crime. That should never, ever happen ever again.
I agree.
Bills. Super Bowl potential matchups happen at the same exact time.
Wild. The Bills coming into town here in the Dirty Mitten. They're going to Detroit. They're going to be at Ford Field. They're 10-3 on the year. All three of those losses are where? On the road. They're 4-3. The Lions, 12-1. All one of those losses are where? At home. They're 6-1 at home. They're giving the Lions a 57.2% chance to come out on top. Do Jared Goff, David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and the rest of this Lions team have enough, or will the Bills' offense be able to strike at this hindered defense?
Look, I don't know who's going to win the game. I just have a pick. But that said, I do know one thing. That over of 54.5 ain't safe. It is not safe at all. Place your bets now. Don't wait till Sunday. Place your bets now. I'm going to pick the Lions because the Bills have struggled more on the road, even though Josh Allen has played fantastic no matter where he's been. The Lions are the safer pick. That's what I'm going to do. Detroit gets to 13-1 for the first time in franchise history.
I'm going to have to go with you as well. I think the big thing here is that they're at home. The Bills struggle on the road, and that's going to be key in this game. Ford Field's going to be electric. It's going to be loud, and I think the Lions come out on top. And if they're able to get healthy after this, the rest of the NFL's got to be on watch. We're headed back to the college gridiron. I've got a pretty big matchup. Our first ever college football playoff pick happening right now. The Indiana Hoosiers are going to be taking on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish in the 7-10 matchup. This game is in South Bend. It is going to be at Notre Dame Stadium. Notre Dame has a 73.7% chance to win. Does Kurt Cignetti and O'Rourke and Kevin Rourke have enough to take down Riley Leonard, Jeremiah Love, Marcus Freeman, and in the Fighting Irish?
I think that Indiana has enough to be more competitive against Notre Dame than they were against Ohio State. That said, this is the first ever home playoff game in college football history, and it's happening at one of the most historic venues in the sport, and Notre Dame being one of the most historic programs in the sport. I don't think you could write a better script for Indiana to walk in there and beat the tar out of Notre Dame and head on to the next round of the playoffs, but I don't think it will happen. I think talent-wise, Notre Dame has understood who they are over the past several weeks, and here's the thing. Indiana gets a lot of credit for beating the mess out of what was somewhat an easier schedule. Well, Notre Dame did the same thing against an easy schedule, but an easy schedule that was tougher than what Indiana played. So I'm going to stick with the Fighting Irish. That said, don't be putting the ball in Riley Leonard's hands trying to win this game, trying to put up a gazillion points. You turn around and you give that ball to Jeremiah Love about 40 times, and Notre Dame, you will walk out of here with a dominant victory. Don't screw around with Indiana. Don't keep them close, or you will lose. Indiana has what it takes to win, but I'm picking the Irish.
For the love of my frat and for all chaos ensuing, I will be the biggest Indiana Hoosiers fan come Friday, December 20th, but I am picking the Notre Dame Irish to win this game.
That leaves us with one. It's the last game of the year, every year, as long as you don't pay attention to all the postseason stuff. Navy, Army, and what I think has got to be one of the most exciting matchups they have had in years, and every year it's exciting. I don't care if both teams walk in 1-11. I'm turning this game on, and I'm watching these two beat the tar out of each other. This year, Army is number 22 in the country. They are 11-1, and Navy is 8-3. Both were wildly competitive and against great competition as well, but their losses did look pretty rough, especially for Navy. Nonetheless, Army comes in. They opened as a 2.5-point favorite. They are now a 6.5-point favorite on the books, and they have a 65.9% chance of victory. This one, DJ, is at Northwest Stadium. It's at Landover, Maryland, instead of Baltimore, Maryland. I'm not super crazy about that, but what are you going to do? Who you got? Army, Navy.
This one's pretty simple for me. It's Army all the way. Daly has been great. Don't get me wrong. Blake Horvath has been absolutely fantastic this year for Navy, but Daly has really taken Army to the next level, and their defense has shown out as well. They got one loss to a team that's in the playoff, and that's Notre Dame. That's it. You look over at Navy. Navy lost to Tulane, who Army handled last week in the conference championship game. They lost to Rice as well by 14, and then they got blown out by Notre Dame. So I got to go with the fact that Army is in a better position and expect them to come out on top.
Yeah, I think at times Navy looked much better than Army, but at the end of the season, they played the exact same opponents, and Army's got a better record. That said, Navy's going to look a little bit better on the field. Those Jolly Roger uniforms, those are intense. I love it. That said, this one isn't about who I think is better or who I think is going to win. This is go Army, beat Navy. I don't care what the records are. That's the way you approach this game. You have your side due to family ties or due to, you know, histories or whatever it may be. And that's the case for me. I'm tied to Army. I can't pick Navy. Can't do it. Go Army, beat Navy.
Well, that gives us a Notre Dame, Army, Western, Lions, Eagles, Packers, all six the same down the line. Send us into the weekend.
All right, a lot going on this weekend in sports for WBCK. That Army Navy game, it's right here. I love that. That's one of the few games that, like, as soon as they offer it to me, I can't click on the button fast enough to make sure I've got it. Army Navy today, WBCK pregame gets started at 2 p.m. And then Sunday Night Football on BCK, Green Bay and Seattle. That game is also going to be here. We're also giving you the Monday night game because it's a divisional matchup in the NFC North. Minnesota hosts Chicago. Both of those get started at 7:30 Sunday and Monday night, respectfully. So enjoy all we have to offer to you, and we will see you guys again next week for more picks and more analysis of everything going on in Michigan sports. For Dejan, I'm Jacob. We'll catch you guys next time. Take it easy.
Join Jacob Harrison and Dejan Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.